Here's Coach Pelini. Let's take you to Lincoln.
Coach, why don't you talk a little bit about the Big Ten Conference, since the opening week it has struggled through much of the non-conference season. How big a concern is that, you know, the Big Ten overall, the image?
I don't really care about what the image is out there. And there's a lot of football to be played. There's a lot of good football played in this conference, a lot of good football teams. And like I said, it's not where you start, it's where you end at the end. I mean, that's the least of my concerns. I could care less about what the image is outside.
Hey, Bo, will Rex take that brace off this week, or will you have to play in that knee brace again on Saturday?
We'll see. Not sure.
Is that something y'all gauge in practice throughout the week?
That's a dot to trainers and doctors, and, you know, we think he's fine, but, you know, it's not my decision, and obviously the knee brace didn't affect him at all, so.
Back in the rotation this week.
We'll see. Possibly.
Oh, is this a different feel, though, for the week leading up, this everything that surrounds it, being that these are conference games? Not that you prepare any different, but just a different feel than
next week, next day of practice, and, you know, business as usual as far as we're concerned.
What are your impressions of Wisconsin four games into the year?
A good football team. They're physical. I mean, they're, you know, two-time defending. Been to Rose Bowl 2 years in a row. So they haven't forgotten how to play football. They're a good football team, and we gotta get better this week. You know, we gotta prepare well. We gotta make sure we take care of our preparation and get ready to go and be ready for the challenge that's coming in. I have a lot of respect for their football team and their program.
What did you learn about your team last year going up there and losing the way you did? And how can you use that as motivation for what your players call a bad taste in their mouth on Saturday?
I don't take much out of it. We got beat up there last year. We didn't play well, and they did better team won that night. Different time, different place, different football teams. I don't really care what happened last year. That's in the past. It's time to move on, and the team that plays, that earns it on Saturday, will be the win. We'll win.
Can you harness those memories, though, and use them in a positive way this Saturday?
Everyone's motivated by different things, and at the end of the day, it's not about, you know, it's not about want to, you know, it's, you need to execute to win the football game on either side. And you know, how we choose to motivate them or motivate the football team or how each guy motivates himself, that's individual, but we got to be ready to play on Saturday.
How much different are they on offense about Russell Wilson just from what you've seen in those first four games?
Well, obviously, Russell Wilson is a special player. I mean, he's starting for the Seahawks. I think they're 2-0, I don't know what their record is, but he's done a heck of a job already and made a transition. So obviously he's a special player. So anytime you lose a guy like that, there's going to be a transition. But they have capable football players playing quarterback, and obviously with this football team, it always starts with the running game, and. You know, so we're going to be challenged defensively. There's no doubt about it.
Everyone talks about Moneyball, but can you talk about those running backs behind him and just how they've stepped up so far in non-conference?
It's the same kind of like us. You know, we have Rex, but sometimes people forget about how good Amir and Braylon and Amani are. You know, and with them, you know, White's a really good player, You know, Monty Ball's a tremendous player, and the other guy they're using in there is very capable as well. So, they have talent at the running back position. And you know, with them, it starts up front. They, you know, they're good offensive line.
Hey, Bo, Martinez is leading the Big Ten in pass efficiency. He's like 10th in the nation in pass efficiency. I think everybody knows that that was his emphasis during the offseason to get better at that. But, I mean, are you surprised that it's statistically how good he's been when he's needed to throw?
No. That's what we expect out of him. And, I said it, you know, people snickered when I said I think Taylor's going to make a huge jump this year, and he has. And obviously I saw it through the spring. I saw it in practice through fall camp, and he just needs to stay on the same track. And if he keeps playing the way he is, and we expect him to, it makes our offense, pretty hard to stop.
Is it fair to expect him to continue at the rate he has, given the competition levels you go up here pretty quick?
No, I fully expect him to go as we, we've actually pulled back the reins on him in a few games. And I think he's going to continue to play well, because that's what I've been seeing from him. I mean, I have a lot of confidence in him. I think he's an outstanding quarterback. So I think that's what... that's what our expectations are going forward.
Did you see any noticeable change after last year's Wisconsin game with Taylor? His struggles in that game, and kind of after the season, he played pretty well down the stretch. Was there a change at all from that game in him that you saw?
Well, you should see change every week, in improvement every week. I just think he's gotten better, and he's going to continue to get better. He's not at the level that we want him to yet. There's still a lot more out there for him to learn and a lot more for him to grow. And the more experience he has, and if he keeps working and preparing the way he has been, he'll keep getting better. I don't think we've seen the best of Taylor yet.
Hey, Bo, do you anticipate going more three linebacker this week? And if so, what does that mean for Siakam?
Well, yeah, I would anticipate we're going to be more in some base personnel, but Siante can play out there at corner too, so we'll get him prepared to play at the corner spot. And also when they get into their wide out, their three wide sets and such, he'll still be in there at the nickel spot. But he Siante can play corner as well as a nickel.
Is your philosophy on that strictly dictated by what they do personnel-wise, or do you look at it sometimes and say, hey, let's stay with nickel even though they're big?
It depends on the team and what they're doing and, the challenges that that their particular offense presents. And, we've done that. Sometimes we've matched, sometimes we haven't. It just depends on the team and the style of the offense.
Where are you relying on your pass rush to come from during the Big Ten season? Is there anybody in particular kind of look at?
Well, I mean, I'm not following you.
Can you do it up front, do you think, or are you going to have to do some things creatively with
him? I think you got to have a mix of both.
What's Eric being able to do what he's done the last few weeks kind of add to that right now?
Well, it's pretty obvious. Eric's a pretty good, pretty dynamic pass rusher. And Eric can do a lot of different things. He's a versatile guy and a little bit of a hybrid type defensive end. And, we use him in a multitude of different ways, obviously we have, besides Eric, we have some other capable pass rushers that, just be interesting to see who steps up as the season goes on. But it's got to be a mix of pressure and four-man rush, and that's always going to be part of what we do.
Bo, what's the one area that you want to see a lot of growth in this week so that you guys are ready for Big Ten to play?
Overall efficiency of what we're doing and the detail that's going to allow you to play well each and every week. And, like I said, I still think, we haven't even scratched the surface of what we need to do going forward to be the best football team we can be. And, every single day we got to go out there and prepare and get better. That's always a challenge. I mean, you don't sit there and wait till Saturday. You gotta earn it during the week, and your preparation during the week is going to determine how you play on Saturday. And if we continue to do that, we stay focused and don't get caught up in the highs, the lows, whatever you call it, that happen as the season goes on, and that gives you the best opportunity to play well each and every week.
In terms of official visitors, this is the largest recruiting weekend of your tenure. What sort of your and Ross's most philosophy behind trying to create a Big Ten whole weekend, trying to get everybody in here and see the program all at once?
Well, you know, sometimes you do it according to, you know, what players want to come and when they want to come and when they can fit it in. And, you know, we have a pretty large number of commitments, you know, for this point, for us, you know, at this point of the point in time. And our commitments all wanted to come to this game, and then piggyback that on top of, you know, some other guys that wanted to visit this weekend. So it's going to be a busy weekend recruiting-wise, but, you know, it'll be a good atmosphere, and hopefully you know, I pretty anticipate that the fans are going to be pretty, you know, night game and everything involved, you know, Big Ten opener, that the fans are going to be pretty juiced up for this one. So it should be a good time for, you know, to have a lot of recruits in.
Hey, well, what are the challenges of just managing that many recruits and playing a game on Saturday just for you and your staff?
Well, you know, I have a great support staff, and you know, my number one priority is winning the football game and do what I need to do for our football team. And, you know, it becomes a busy weekend, but first and foremost, you know, the best thing we want to show recruits is a W on the scoreboard. So, you know, like I said, I got a lot of great guys, a lot of great support staff, and you know, they'll spend the majority of the time, you know, up through the game with those recruits.
About how many number of recruits do you think you'll have Saturday?
You know, I don't know. I'm, you know, somewhere in the, you know, around 20 probably.
The Ross joke at Bigger at Breakfast last Friday, he'll sometimes call him a glass half empty kind of guy. He's pretty organized, and he's also a person who wants to keep charging in that recruiting area before. He believes it when he gets the signing class. What has he been like just in the first 8-9 months of recruiting coordinator, and how has he challenged you maybe to change the things that you've been doing?
I think he does a great job. You know, he stays on it. He's very detailed. He's, you know, it's real easy, especially from my, you know, from my chair during the season to, you know, there's a lot of things going on, and obviously your number one focus is on winning football games, and you need somebody like Ross who's constantly on, you know, pushing, you know, what we need to do recruiting-wise, you know, continuing to evaluate. That's one of the biggest keys, is you can't just say, okay, the guys that we've evaluated up to this point, that's it. You know, you have to continue on there and, you know, keep looking at guys and keep turning over every rock and pushing through, and not only with the guys that aren't committed yet, but even making sure we stay in contact and keep our relationships and keep the committed guys committed. There's a lot of work involved with that.
Has he challenged any of your previous notions about creating the ways that are good?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, that's, we challenge, you know, we're continuing to talk about areas. And, you know, we just had a recruiting meeting last week talking about it. You know, are we going to stay with the areas we have? Are we going to stay as national? Are we going to start zeroing in on, you know, kind of limiting a little bit more where we're going and making sure we're spending the right time in the places that, number one, are having BCS recruits, number two, guy, you know, where we've had success. And, you know, I said a couple years ago, people said, how's the Big Ten, you know, move to the Big Ten going to influence your recruiting? And I said, I don't know. Time will tell. And we're compiling a lot of data and using that data to kind of figure out, you know, do we have to adjust our approach going forward? And we're already starting to adjust our approach some, limit some areas that, you know, that we haven't had a lot of success in, and taking more guys and put them into some other areas that we've had success in, but you know, we're going to continue to study that as the years go forward and as time passes.
What areas are you guys limiting right now?
Well, I'm not going to get heavily into that, you know, what we're going to do philosophically, but you know, our We've had good success in California, Texas, really, you know, pretty much through the Midwest. You know, we're talking about maybe limiting some of the areas out east that we've been, you know, spending some time in. We just spinning our wheels in some of those areas. And, you know, so we're, you know, we're talking a lot about it and trying to figure out what the best, you know, formula is going to be going forward. And we haven't made any hard decisions, but I know I have a pretty good idea where we're leaning, and we're going to get some extra presence in some of those areas that are bigger, big areas, and areas where maybe too big for one guy, where we can spend a little bit more time there. And also, and how much are we going to area recruit, and how much are we going to position recruit? You know, those are all things that, you know, how can we best use our time, you know, use our time as wisely as we possibly can. And you know, we're trying to compile a lot of data and to help us make those determinations as we move forward.
Well, there's so much talent in Ohio, and you know that area so well, and yet there's also so much competition in Ohio. Having done this now, you know, for a year as a Big Ten member, what's been your philosophy and how has it changed on Ohio? What have you noticed?
Well, you know, we've had a presence in Ohio. You know, that's one of the states we've been talking about. You know, you kind of look at it, you got California, you got Texas, you got Florida, and then probably Ohio's next, you know, and, you know, obviously Georgia has a large amount of kids that could go BCS-wise, but for us, you know, Ohio's a big state, and, you know, we had some success, we're having some success there, and we have to look at, you know, that was one of the things we talked about. We have two guys in Ohio. Do we need to spend more time there? You know, it's an interesting thing, you know, because you have, you know, you have the MAC conference there. You know, you have all kinds of, you have the BCS recruits, and then you have, you know, there's a lot of guys that signed Division I out of Ohio, and can you evaluate it? Can you, what kind of success can you have out of there? And I think because of my ties, there's probably some areas of Ohio we're going to probably recruit harder than other areas of Ohio. But that's something we're continuing to keep an eye on and making sure that we do have a presence there and, you know, and going forward to determine whether we got to put one more guy in that state. Because it's a big state. It's hard to cover with just two guys.
Well, Andy Janovich comes from being a walk-on, no guy that's out there for the first snap Saturday. What, in your 6 or 8 weeks since camp started, what have you seen? What has he done?
Well, I think Andy's going to be a really good player for us. And, you know, he's just learning and growing. And I think he, you know, we kind of upped his reps last week. I think he's, we kind of made the determination that, you know, he's capable of helping us. He's, you know, mentally, physically, you know, that he has the ability to help us, and we probably need one more fullback as the year goes on. And, you know, we made the determination to go ahead and pull his red shirt and see how it goes going forward. And but we have confidence in Andy and what he brings to the table.
Hey, Bo, since it's the start of conference play here this week, you know, it's been 13 years since Nebraska's won a conference championship. I know you haven't been here for all those, but it seems like the fans, they expect year in and year out Nebraska should be right there winning a conference title or pretty close to it. I guess it seems like there's an edginess to the fan base right now. I guess what would you say to those folks that have these expectations for Nebraska and how they're kind of, I guess, antsy right now?
What do you want me to say? I'm pretty edgy myself.
Well, do you think that there's a sense of entitlement among the fans as far as, you know, that run that they had?
I would
in
hope
the mid-90s?
No. It's number one, it's not the mid-90s. But I think we all know that. And I don't really – my expectation is to win a conference championship each and every year, period, end of story. And that's my expectation. I would assume that would be the fans' expectation.
Bo, would you agree that there seems to be a little more balance this year in the Big Ten when you've got Minnesota undefeated, Northwestern undefeated, that there are a lot of teams that could challenge for this title?
Yeah, there's all. I think that's always the case in a conference. I think the conference is deep, and it's. But you know, my expectation is to win this is to win the Big Ten and to do what's necessary to win the Big Ten. I don't really care about the depth of the league or who else. What I'm worried about is taking care of business day in day out as we go through league play and try and win them all. That's all I can concern myself with. I don't really look at the league as a whole or what's happening across the league. I'm concerned with Nebraska and what we have to do to get better as a football team today and as league play goes on.
What do you think the
All-Star game for? I haven't really thought much about it. You know, it'll be a one-game thing, and I think I've talked about that. And I really don't. I'm concerned about how the guys in those uniforms play. I'm not concerned with what they line up in. But
you don't put any stock in the theory that if you look different or look good per se, you're gonna play better all that day.
No. Look at Tevin Taylor's back there. He hasn't looked good since I've been here. So, and he's played pretty good.
How tough was that loss? Where does it rank against some other losses that you've had? You open up Big Ten and you go to Wisconsin and you guys didn't play that well. How tough was that loss for you guys?
I'm not talking about that game anymore. I've moved past that game. And when you're in my position and when you're a competitor, every loss hurts about equally the same. It is not easy to deal with. It isn't like I can go and get away from it and I move on to my job the next day or whatever. When you live in it, you compete for a living, trust me when I tell you, it hurts. And it hurts deep at the core when you lose football games.
You referenced the 90s and how it's not the 90s anymore. Do you hear a lot about the 90s as the Nebraska head coach from...
Well, I was just making it just generally. It's not the 90s.
No, I know, but like the fan base spends a lot of time thinking and talking about the 90s still. Do you hear a lot about it? I mean, I'm curious, like being in your position in sort of a bubble, is that something that you're aware of? Sort of the.
Not really.
No.
I don't really pay attention to all that. I mean, I really don't. I've taken a different approach. I try not to concern myself with what people think or say or anything else because that can, in the end, can lead me to making bad decisions. And I do the best I possibly can day in and day out to run the best football program I can to make our football team the best I possibly can every single day. End of the day, that's what I try to do. And as long as I do that and I can look myself in the mirror every night before I go to bed knowing that I've done that and I've done everything in my power, I can live with myself. As far as people comparing us to a different time or different place or this is what the expectations are, trust me when I tell you, there isn't anybody who has higher expectations than myself. And I want to win a conference championship every year, and I want to compete for the national championship every year.
Anything else?
I hope I answer your question. Sorry.
Is this a week where, because of the recruiting weekend and the uniforms and the night game and all that you actually have to consciously manage distractions and make sure your team's focused, deal with the emotions? I mean, is that part of the coaching week this week?
I think it's a part of coaching every week, but I believe we have a mature football team with a tremendous leadership on our football team, and I have a lot of confidence in them and how they're going to prepare, how they're going to approach the week, and you know the uniforms and all the other things that go along with it. That's for the fans. That's for people outside our locker room. Our guys are going to concentrate on one thing, and that's preparing to play the best football game they possibly can. And that's going to be about being into the details and how we execute on Saturday, because that's going to determine what happens. It's not going to be the uniforms that we're wearing or what Wisconsin's wearing, or it's whether it's at night or in the morning. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to lining up 11 on 11, and the team that executes the best is going to win the football game.
Anything else?
Thanks, guys.